From Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory.
Well, good morning, church family and friends. I love it when God continues to stir man's heart. You will recall last Sunday we had a lesson regarding the stirring of our heart deep within us, and we sang a contemporary hymn that I really love to sing. There's the stirring deep within us. Could it be my time has come? Is he calling me? I want to continue what I would term a conversation, not so much a lesson, but a conversation about the ways that the call of God comes to it. Yesterday, by the way, I had come down here to the building because I had received a call from one of our church members, Brother Herman. And Herman and Lisa have been diligently working with people that they come into contact with. And that's the way we should always be, that we should greet and meet the people that we come into contact and share what we know about Jesus. And this is what happened. About a year and a few months ago, we had a fire tragedy at Black Forest. A lot of people lost their homes. Some people lost their lives. We met people, as this congregation has always responded to a need. And we met a man in a parking lot, burned out of his home. And we just loved him like Jesus would. We embraced his need, tried to take care of that need as much as we possibly could. And he would continue to keep in contact through Herman and Lisa. In fact, he has come to this assembly on many occasions. And the word of the Lord has been shared with that individual. But the call that I got was about the man's son. Not quite 15 yet. He came to the conclusion that he needed the saving blood of Jesus Christ, and he wanted to be baptized for the remission of sin. As you know, we seem to baptize more people with cold water and no water, because we have an issue with our baptistry that you fill it up and lo and behold, it's gone. Well, that was not going to deter that young man. And yesterday, I immersed Alex Bourbon into Christ. The water was cold. But then, his dad turned to me, Richard, and he says, "My son has set the right example for me. I must also be baptized for the remission of my sin." So two more are now in God's kingdom, and they're no longer at the mercy of the devil and his angel. Praise God, huh?
Praise God.
All right. I like that. Let's go to Ephesians. And it will be like a conversation, at least I hope it will. Sometimes my conversations sound like sermons. That's okay. This is a fantastic piece of scripture. Way before the beginning of time, before God said, "Let there be light," and subsequent to that came a world, came stars and planets and galaxies. Well before the time that God would say, "Let us make man in our own image," it was the ultimate of the creative power of God to make man in his image. Well before all of that, God had a predetermined plan. God knows everything, doesn't he? The psalmist has said, you know, in Psalm 139, you know, even before one word is on my tongue, you know what I am going to say. Even before I take one step in one direction or the other, you know it too well. It is impossible for man to contemplate the entire scope of what God is all about. But one thing I do know, without faith it is impossible to please God. It is not enough to acknowledge Him. We must believe that He is, that God exists. So before all of this took place, God had a determination. We call it predestination, if we understand what it means. That God had already determined what would happen, what would be done, but yet to leave the man, the human race, to have complete will. To be able to choose from right and wrong, to decide, yes, I will believe, I will have faith in God, or no, I won't, and face the consequences of those actions. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Him. You realize the implications of this? That even before anything took place, before one word was uttered, God in Jesus Christ chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, that we should be blameless. It's kind of hard to figure that out. How could we be chosen to be holy and blameless when we left the garden with such red faces and in rebellion? You know something? God was already a million steps ahead of Satan. The plans of God cannot be thwarted by any man or any angel or anyone called our adversary, the devil. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Love isn't something that man came up on his own with. Love is something that we learn from something outside of ourselves, something beyond ourselves. God first loved us. We learned how to love from that kind of love. He said, in love He predestined us. He wanted us. He chose us. He gave us the opportunity to be holy and blameless. God unfolded a plan. God, if you will, unpacked His divine call to all men. In Acts chapter 17, we'll come back to Ephesians in a minute, but let's go to Acts chapter 17. We have touched on this before, about the Apostle Paul addressing the Areopagus. And then at the tail end of verse 27, he says that God is actually not far from each one of us. Do you know that Ecclesiastes says that God put eternity within us? I think that's God's calling card, God's marker. You know how you turn a piece of china over just to see where it was made? You know, and you see sometimes it says, Hecho in China. You know, made in China, if you don't know what that said. You know, made in China. China made in China. But you know, that's not what we wanted to see. We wanted to say, China made in England. Or, if we get our own way on the 18th, it will be made in Scotland. I don't know. I don't know about that one. You know. But anyway, he says that God is not far from each one of us because we carry within us the God who created us, the marker that we belong to Him. It says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, for we are indeed His offspring. Isn't that amazing that here you have pagan poets saying things that are coming out of their pagan mouth? Truth. Is that an accident? Is that a coincidence? God has used time and time again even those who are diametrically opposed to Him to say the truth. Even old Nebuchadnezzar couldn't deny that, could he? Or Pharaoh. It says, being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and the imagination of man. God is not part of our imagination. God is part of who we are, a reality, the truth. And then Paul says, so the times of ignorance, there was a time that God overlooked. God kind of bided his time for a little while. But now there is someone standing before the world, his son Jesus Christ. By whom and with whom he created all things. It says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands. It could also be the word called, summoned, demand, insist. That all people everywhere repent. That is a universal call of God to all men and women. You need to come back to God. Not so much coming back to Eden, but coming back to your Creator, God. Come home to Him. Isn't that the story of the gospel? Isn't that what heaven is really talking about? That upward calling that Paul writes about in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. That universal call of God, because he's fixed a day. A day has been set. It's on his calendar. Although I don't think God keeps a calendar. God has fixed a day. You know, we're in a continuation of the study of the book of Revelation. Everybody thinks, you know, in the book of Revelation that is, you know, how to uncover the calendar of God. Come on Wednesday nights and I'll change your mind on that. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man. Son of man, also son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. God in flesh. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Given the authority over. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if Jesus Christ never arose from the dead, then guess what? We're still in our sin. What we're doing is really an empty way of life. Because it means nothing. It says nothing. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, we want to hear more about this. You know, there's two different kinds of people there. People who are downright dead set against accepting the call of God, that universal call is to stop the sinning, come home to me and repent, and my son is the standard bearer of what you must do to be saved. It's not about joining a church. You've heard me say this before, haven't you? I don't want anyone to join the church because you can't. You cannot join the church. When you have been immersed and saved by the blood of the Lamb, God's prerogative is to add you to the church because you have been saved. You are being saved. It's not about trying to do enough good in order to qualify. You can't. There isn't enough good you could do to qualify, because wouldn't that make the sacrifice of Jesus Christ absurd? If one could save ourselves by the good of our work? Come back to Ephesians. If there is one thing that all men need to respond to, it is this universal call of God to come back to Him. It has never changed. From day one of the day that man sinned in the garden to right now, in this moment of time, the call has never changed. Come home to me. Repent. My son is the one who sets the conditions of what you must do to be saved. He has predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. It's like one day you're a sinner, the next day you're now a son. One day you're an outsider, now you're an insider. One day you're an alien. I'm still an alien. I've got a card to prove it. One day you're an alien, and then you're a member of the household of God. Only God, only Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, is that kind of creative power possible to change us, to make us new in Christ Jesus. He says, He predestined us. He had already laid it all out. It was set. It was not going to be a plan B or C. There was always plan A. Plan A was that man would need to be redeemed. God knew that in the garden well before Satan showed up. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, His grace is that which overlooks our ugliness. Do you think God saved you because you're good looking? Then what about me? Huh? You know, sin makes us all ugly, don't it? No, that's not right. Dr. Jerry will be after me saying don't it. Sounds like donut. But in Christ, by and through and because of His blood, I'm a saint. I'm beautiful in the eyes of God. So are you. He says, this was all according to the purpose of the world, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. You know who the Beloved is? In Christ. Nothing to do with the movie. There was a movie called The Beloved. About a piano. The Beloved here is Jesus. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. If you could think of God's grace as something that God wants to lavish on us, God does not dispense His grace with an eyedropper. He pours it on and on and on. And it isn't anything that we have done to merit that. There is no way we could merit that. It is to this that we have been called. It is to this that you have been called. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. All of this comes to a head, reaches the crescendo of what salvation is all about in the waters of baptism. Awesome. Nobody voting. Nobody raising hands. Nobody trying to get as many friends around them who will say, yes, save them, Lord, save them. You know, there's just as many people wanting us to be saved as wanting us not to be saved. Because that's the way we are as people, aren't we? We probably would like just to save our friends, not our enemies. But don't you realize that we were enemies to God before we met Jesus? In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom. No eyedropper of grace here. He pours it on. And you know, when I think of a personalization of that grace, I think of Jesus. He poured out His life, His blood, to death, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. Sin created the break between earth and heaven, between man and God. Jesus is the one who could bring it all back together. You know, we tell the story of old Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sat in a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And of course, all the king's horses, all the king's men had scrambled eggs for breakfast again. No. Not even all the king's horses and all the king's men could put Humpty back together again, but Jesus did. Jesus could. Jesus can. All of us who are outside of Christ are sitting on the wall and you're about to fall. The call of God points to His Son. The call of God points to the cross. The call of God points to the empty tomb. The call of God points to Him who said, I will come back But I will come back according to what Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28 tells us, not to deal with sin anymore, but to bring salvation who patiently wait for it. Will you respond to such a call? He says, as a plan to the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven, things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. I don't know. There would be some who would say, you know, the two people who were immersed yesterday, Alex and Richard, there might be some who would say, you know, there's no way in the world that's going to happen. It's not that God made it happen, but God made it possible for it to happen. God has put everything in its proper place that man is without excuse. We cannot say God did not make it possible for me to be saved. And finally, that's what the preacher says in the conversation when you know you're getting ready to sing the invitation song. And in conclusion, I think I've had the longest conclusions on history. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Not even when the devil tries to backtrack on God, not even when the devil says, I am going to get you on this and get you on that. He tried at Calvary. He tried in the garden. He tried with Judas. He tried with all of the others. And He is trying with you. But one thing I do know, it will all be according to the purpose of His predetermined will. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard of the word of truth, faith comes by hearing. The call of God goes out every time you read it, every time you hear it, every time someone speaks it. God is not silenced. Even when people say they will no longer read the Word of God, that does not exempt them from what is in the Word of God. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. That day is coming soon. I believe it. I'm coming down now, John. Appreciate the songs this morning. Thank you. But I hope that your hearts are still being stirred with the call of God, the universal call of God, especially if you're not in Christ Jesus. Let's not worry about who's a member and who's not a member of the church. God determines that by what you will do next. If you haven't believed with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, stop. Because faith needs to be engaged in this exercise. He's the only one who can save you. And you need to stop the sinning. Make a clear break with the devil. Make a clear break with sin. Repent. And confess His name to be the Son of the living God. Every time we say that, every time we confess that, every time it's said in the waters of baptism, talk about that water being cold and giving you shivers. When we say that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the devil and his angel shudder. And if you have not been immersed properly for the remission of your sins, God cannot save you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Won't you come up together with me?